just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your rodless team of debauchery, lovely Lisa.
He's a little rusty on the fighting, and she's a born smartass.
And sexy Scully?
I really want to go back to Brussels.
And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go with my intro that I wrote down for when Rod introduced me, because the one thing you got to say about this movie is everybody sticks Amy in the corner.
Yes.
When we got to the point where she's like, yeah, corners are safe, I'm like, that just flashed into my head. But anyway, in case you were hiding under a rock last week, the movie we are doing this week is Erased. And Scully, do you have a synopsis for that?
I do, actually, but it's the one off of IMDb, so you're going to have to give it some credit on this one because it's not great. An ex-CIA agent and his estranged daughter are forced on the run when his employers erased all records of his existence and mark them both for termination as part of a wide-reaching international conspiracy.
Yeah, it works. It's
like their version, his boss's version of termination, but yeah, it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's vague on it, but yeah, it's like, well, you kind of missed the part where they have a hit out on them.
No, it marks them both for termination.
That is another form of termination.
Yeah, but also
it's a permanent kind, but still
being terminated at work just means that you're fired.
Unless you work for these guys.
Yeah, clearly.
And people who liked this movie also liked The Cold Light of Day.
I have not seen.
Break. Killer Elite. Premium Rush. That's the second time recently that Premium Rush has showed up in the people who like this. Assassination Games and Olympus Has Fallen, which I haven't seen yet.
Neither have I.
Everybody I hear who's seen it is like, yeah, not even remotely feasible, but great to watch for just special effects and fun stuff.
You mean kind of like this movie a little bit?
Exactly. Exactly. Like
although
this
movie, not so much with the special effects.
No, not really. Although, I'm actually, I've never seen any of these.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these either. I think I might have seen Assassination Games. Maybe. It's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, so I don't remember anything about it.
That's why that movie sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. I was forced to watch that almost every one of his entire movies because my godmother was in love with him.
Anyway, what do you do?
Especially if you're at her house.
So anyway, Erased. First of all, we are robbing the bank. We're robbing the bank with the really cool safety deposit boxes.
Yeah, those were kind of cool looking.
Come on, Scully, admit it. You'd rent one of those, would you?
No.
No? They're round, got iris scanners, and they've got,
The reason being there was no dual control on any of it. That bothered the shit out of me.
Oh. Well,
do that on a regular basis, like, and I understand there's a reason they're not technically safety deposit boxes, because if you, like, when he leaves the building, you can see plainly that it's not a bank.
No.
They're not robbing a bank. They're robbing a international/CIA depository of protected information.
Right. And I will point out that there is dual control, because you know you need the security guard's key to extract the box, but you have to have a PIN number and a.
No, that's what you get.
You open the box.
That's what you get. So when you rent a security deposit box, and this is like obnoxious. So when you rent a safety deposit box, you're given a key, which you have to keep on you.
Right, and the bank has a key.
Yes, the bank actually has two keys.
Mm-hmm.
There's one to enter the location, and there's another one that actually unlocks your other half. So you get one key, and they have the other. You have to have both these keys in order to even open the box, and there's a third person who actually has control over who can enter and who can't go into the room. Mind you, that's never actually kept up, because I can even acknowledge that they never did that where I worked. It was always the same person who had the other half of your key who would get into the safety deposit boxes, even though there was supposed to be two of you back there. That was never done, because you never have bodies to be able to do that, and it's fine. It's only a recommended security, but anyway. So when you do that, like, you have to have two things in order to just get the deposit box open, not even to get into what's in there, because depending, like in this case, you've got security encryption on the actual boxes themselves. This one's unique in that there are actual security encryptions on the boxes themselves. So even if you can get the box out, there's still passwords and retinal scanners required in order to access the box. Most of the time, there isn't even a key on the stupid box, although there definitely was one banking center where I did a volunteer time. They did have keys on the inside, so the person who had the box actually had two keys that went to it.
So, but anyway, yeah, we have the, you know, we have the high-tech safety deposit box being stolen, and then we go, and it gets stolen and goes on a little ride, and ends up in the hands of a guy we don't know who calls the CIA. Like you do. Or no, he gets a call from someone at the CIA and he doesn't take it. And then we cut to, I think we cut to Aaron Eckhart after that, don't we?
Yeah.
We cut to Ben.
And he's getting ready for work,
get to meet Amy. Who clearly does not get along with him.
Oh yeah,
also a teenage daughter. Like being estranged doesn't help, but it's the whole teenage daughter thing.
Yeah.
Dad's dumb. that didn't get screamed a couple of times.
They go after that a few times in this. But then we follow him to work and find out that he's employed to test security devices to attempt to find ways to circumvent them.
He's part of QA testing, essentially.
Yeah.
He's QAing things before they go out live, like, hey, we just made this new lock, try and break it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sounds like fun. I would love to get paid for something like that.
You should see the guys that actually get tested, get hired to try and penetrate actual security systems.
It's usually, so depending on which department you're in. So if you go through the government, most of the time they actually have normal hired people when it comes to encryption for data encryption. But if you're looking at companies and corporations, a lot of things like the hacker conventions, places like that, where hackers who are intentionally, purposefully trying to hack encryption will actually publicly state or write or even send an email to the company saying, this is how I broke through your system, and this is how you can reproduce this. And oftentimes they get hired by those companies, or at least paid a really nice amount of money for having done that work.
And why don't you do that again, Scully?
It requires having a way more funds to get up zombie machines, because I don't have the money to be able to get zombie servers up. That's kind of it. That's really it.
You don't have that yet.
There you go. So anyway, but we follow him around on his job, and you know he's wrapping up the project that they're working on, and you know, has to give the meeting. So he ends up missing his daughter's award ceremony because she's getting an award, or they're doing an awards for a photo essay contest.
And who here was bummed that they never panned out with her taking photographs, like, all
the
time?
There's one point where she's taking pictures, and she's told immediately to stop.
And then she never does it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
it never comes up, and it's not like it comes in handy at all. I'm kind of bummed by that. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I kind of was, too.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if she left it in the car or not.
No, I think my question was when during the car accident, which comes fairly immediately after that is whether or not her camera got trashed, but you never see her camera again, so.
No, you do, because it actually, she uses it, she doesn't use it, she puts it back into the bag, but the bag ends up with the woman, so it's like halfway through the movie. The woman who ends up getting killed, who has them the safe house, her bag is sitting next to it, and her dad picks it up and leaves with it, and you can see the camera plainly sitting in the top of the bag.
But, well, there's lots of things that just got put into people's hands in this movie. We'll go on
to that. Yeah.
But, anyway, so, you know, he goes out and catches up with her after the award ceremony. And, then, and they're on their way back home, and she gets hungry, so he gives her some cookies that one of the girls in the office left for her. And they have peanuts in them, and she's allergic. So they get to spend the night in the hospital. And seriously, best thing you can ever say about having a peanut allergy. It's the only time a peanut allergy has ever saved someone's life. Am I wrong?
No, in this case, you're not wrong.
But anyway, so they get back, it's the next morning. They end up spending all night in the hospital, which, is it me or does that seem, like, weird?
Seems a little excessive. Yeah. I'm not an expert or anything, but last time somebody I know who had a food allergy had to go to the hospital, it took them like 3 hours.
Well, remember, she went to an award show.
Yeah, but it was 8 o'clock when he left the office to go catch up with her.
And then he had to go where she was hanging out with some friends.
Yeah, but that's still.
And then on the way home from that. So we don't actually know how long it was between those three places.
Yeah, you figure it was probably 9. It was probably before 9 by the time he caught up with her.
I was even figuring like 10 or 11 o'clock, which still doesn't equate to the fact that he checks his watch and it's like, oh, you gotta go in the office.
Yeah, because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. So he's gotta. So, yeah, A, it's 8 o'clock, or he gets an alarm saying that he's got to go pick up reminding him to pick up a delivery at the office at 8 o'clock in the morning, and she's leaving the hospital and still has to go to school.
Yep.
But he's like, we got to stop by the office and pick up something. They get to the office, and there's no office anymore.
Well, there's a building. Does that count?
Everything is cleaned out. Oh. And, you know, I've heard, you know, I've heard the statement, box your stuff and get the hell out of here, but I've never seen an entire company do it overnight. How about you, Skull?
Yes.
You've seen an entire company box their stuff overnight?
Yes. I've actually been in a company that's moved twice. And it's been in a 24-hour period, not even. It was in a work day. So in a regular work day, it was pick all your shit up and move it.
Did you actually get informed they were moving? I mean, this guy wasn't informed.
No, trust me, there was like weeks of heads up because it was back everything. So everything that was local to that location got backed up to a server. In rack space and got switched over to there, turned on there. So we didn't even need what was on site. So literally it happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody comes in. We fail over to rack space, shut the machines down, pick everything up, move it, and then set it back up in the new spot. Although we didn't have to worry about turning the servers back on because we had it set up for like 3 days. So there was a lot of like, leniency on setting stuff back up.
I don't even like moving, you know, from one house to another in a 24-hour period. Even if I've had time, you know, even if I'd had a week to pack everything prior to that, I don't like doing it.
It's much easier when you're in an office because you're not moving any personal belongings and you're hardly moving, like, anything. You're really moving, like, your computer and your stuff. So it took me one trip. And I think I moved two desks, so my desk and a friend slash coworker. So we moved two desks worth in my car. Like, I packed up my car with our two desks, drove it there, we unpacked, went back, and started just grabbing other crap and doing it that way because it was just easier. We were like, well, whatever, because the moving van and moving people are going to miss this, so we might as well grab this stuff. So we grabbed, like, a couple chairs and shit.
But, you know, there's also one other, you know, thing where, you know, you had everybody that worked for you to help. As we learn immediately later in this, or immediately next in this movie, they didn't have everybody to help because they killed everybody.
Except for one person, two people.
Yeah. Everyone he worked with except for three people. Yeah. Him three. And three other people were killed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so he finds out, or he is, he goes to the office, finds out it's gone. The company, you know, the company has appears to have never existed. And so he goes to the, he goes to Brussels. He takes his daughter to Brussels to the main headquarters to find out what in the heck happened.
That's a great way to get the day off from school, though.
Yeah.
It beats playing sick.
And, you know, he gets there and they find out, you've never worked for us and you haven't done anything in the last 14 years.
Well, I kind of suspect the last 14 years was something because of his security clearance, but you don't know that at the time.
Yeah. But,
You don't learn that until later on when, what is it, they're leaving? Oh yeah, they're leaving and his, they go to the bank because he's trying to withdraw money to find out, you know.
Or no, he's trying to get a hold of
bank records of
yeah.
paychecks. Like, I've been getting paychecks. And they're like, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
And his buddy shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you realize that not everybody's died, for one. And two, this guy
knows what he's doing. He didn't know that anybody was dead at that point. Because he runs into his buddy who worked there.
This is the guy who gives him the tip off that everybody's dead.
Yeah, well, and he finds out that everybody's dead, and he tries to kill them.
Yeah.
I remember thinking he looked familiar. His name doesn't sound familiar though. Alexander Fehling.
Yeah, I know the name.
Inglourious Bastards, which I haven't seen, but I know a lot of people have. No, not a whole lot. He's a German actor.
He's still cute.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Alexander Fehling is the actor's name.
No, his character name.
Oh, Floyd.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Oop.
Yeah, he takes them out at gunpoint, and then, Ben, Aaron Eckhart's character, engineers a car crash to, you know, get a hold of the gun. They fight in the car, almost kill everybody, and then he tries to...
They roll that cute little European car. It's awesome.
Yeah!
I was like, oh, I love watching European cars roll, because they're so light and I don't know, they just roll a lot.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But yeah, he ends up, like, they fight in the middle of the road, which is shocking, because you're in Europe, and there's nobody on the road. I'm like, that's a bunch of bullshit right there. That is bullshit.
And then he's choking him and trying to question him, and accidentally suffocates him. Or I think, I don't
know. Was it broken?
I don't know if he broke his neck or his windpipe, because you hear something. You see her something crack.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was his windpipe or his neck.
I think it was supposed to be his spine. I think that was like the implication was, oops, I accidentally popped his spine and yeah, you're done.
Yeah, I have issues with that. We'll get into it later.
I just now realized how many times I have seen the chick who plays Amy before and I didn't recognize her in this.
I did recognize her.
Yeah. She does, she's done a lot of TV work and shows that I watch. She was in Trespass with Nicolas Cage and Nicole Kidman.
Yes. Actually, what was the one that I really recognized? Leanna Liberato was...
Yeah, that's Amy.
In House.
Yeah, she was a...
I was like, oh my god, I know who that is. Never mind.
She was in two and she was a recurring character in Sons of Anarchy for a couple episodes.
She has a lot of, like, creepy movies. Like, even Sons of Anarchy isn't something, but The Last Sin Eater, she's a Cold Case TV series episode, yeah. She doesn't do, like, normal stuff. She likes playing the creepy stuff, which is fine.
I didn't realize that the other chick, the CIA chick, Anna, was in Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize
her. Somebody in here was in Riddick. Can't remember who, though.
But
looking
anyway.
Through the list. But yeah, so they have a car accident. The daughter freaks out because her dad just killed the guy, and she doesn't know how to handle that.
Well, she's a teenager. Got to give her a little credit there.
Oh, yeah, and he pulls the key off of the body. Like a wad of cash, a key, the gun.
Yeah.
And they end up making it to a train station.
And we got it, Mark. Aaron Eckhart gets his first gun.
Yes.
Oh, my fucking God. Like, every time he needs a gun, he has one, even if he's just ditched his last one.
Yep. Yeah, it's impossible to keep track. There were points where I was like, wait, is that the same gun that they were just using? I don't remember what we're on.
Yeah. There's one
good
point,
guess to say, no, it wasn't.
There's one point where he ditches a gun, and you see it clearly once he's left the room, laying on top of the body, and in the very next scene where he needs one, he pulls a gun out.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Without ever having an opportunity to get one.
I don't know how he does it. I really don't know, because I was getting so lost and confused with the guns. I just could not keep up. I didn't even know where he dumped the first gun. Like, I remember him walking away with it, because it wasn't at the scene. But I don't remember if he just left it on his person. I don't remember if, because I don't think he had it for the train station. I can't imagine he would, so he must have dumped it before then, but then it was like, magically he had a gun the next time he needed one. I was like, wait a minute.
But, and isn't it illegal to have firearms in Brussels, or is that another European country that I'm thinking of?
It's not illegal.
I know there is.
They got, like, normal standards where it's, you know.
I know there is a European country that, doesn't allow personal firearms, or at least doesn't allow you to carry them. But I can't remember which country it is.
Are you sure it's?
Yeah, it's a European country. I just don't remember which one.
The only other one I can think of is Austria.
I can't remember what European country it is. It may be like the ones that are coming to mind are like the Netherlands or Brussels, but I can't remember which one it is. Anyway, drink again, because we are so tangenting on this movie, mostly because
it's such a
into this whether or not we actually liked this movie. We completely skipped that. Did this movie actually make you wet or frigid, Scully?
No, like I wasn't frigid, but I certainly wasn't wet. I was like, yep, seen it before.
Yeah.
I guess warm fuzzies at the end, probably. That's virgin on it.
How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the warm fuzzies.
Warm fuzzies?
Sorry, folks.
I can't go in any comment because they're all funny.
Yeah, no. But, yeah, I'm just going to say this one's... It's not bad, but it's just kind of... Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's not anything really original or even, you know, really memorable. And it's horribly unquotable. Like all of the dialogue in here, while, you know, good and the acting is good.
Oh yeah.
There's just, there are none of those memorable lines or, you know, it doesn't have anything.
Even the characters, other than the main three, are not memorable.
Yeah.
Like, anybody other than the main three, like, really, Floyd was, because we can't not make fun of that name. But...
Well, and even Derek, you know, you see him four different times, but you never realize who he is until the last
until the end. You're like, oh my god, that's who that is.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not, oh my god, that's who that actor is. It's, oh my god, that's who that character is.
Yes. You're like, oh my god, he's been on the other end of the phone all that time.
Yeah.
It's just not, they're not memorable. They don't get any, there's no personal anecdotes to any of them for your brain to be able to associate, oh, that's the guy who likes pie, or that's the guy who has the orange bunny slippers. There's nothing uniquely identifiable about anybody.
Oh, wait, that car crash was cool. I remember that.
Oh,
yeah. That's about the extent of this movie.
Yeah, and speaking of that guy, that's the one who is in Riddick, the new one that's coming out this year.
Neil, yeah.
Yeah.
It's already out.
Is it already out? I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm horrible at remembering when things are coming out in theaters, because I never go to the theaters.
Yeah, I don't either.
But,
I have a friend who does all the time.
That's pretty much where this movie is. And what's really sad is last night, Lisa and I watched the pilot for Blacklist, which is in a similar vein as this movie. And
I remember more about that.
Yeah, I know.
That was 4 hours ago?
Yeah. Yeah, we watched the movie this afternoon, and I remember more about Blacklist than I do about this movie. Not that I remember more about it, it's just that more of it is sticking with me and being like, oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's more memorable. Like, yeah, there's just nothing
terribly
memorable about it. I mean, really, if you wanted to go by memorable moments, like, you could really shorten up this movie synopsis to be something of car crash, finds dead bodies in horribly mutilated ways. Sorry, I had to focus on that. I was like, oh my god, that's awesome. How would have they died? I'm guessing my bet is on carbon monoxide poisoning, just FYI.
Yeah.
That was my guess for that one. No, I'm thinking carbon monoxide. It's easier, it's deadly, it's silent.
Yeah.
It's very easy. They would never have noticed. Like, they would have gone to bed and never woken up. Perfect.
Yeah.
And besides, they had enough stuff going up as it is. Finds the dead bodies, finds out the CIA is behind it, starts tracking down different CIA agents that they're leaving a trail from other companies. And then CIA agents find him.
Yeah.
And
we find out what it is that's in the box.
Well, yeah, but really, like, I didn't care except for the name of the boat. That was it.
That was awesome.
I was like, oh, okay.
I wanted to use the trivia question. I'm like, no, that's too damn easy.
Yeah, it's way too damn easy. Like, any.
Here's a hint. We have buffed the movie.
Yeah.
I need, like, yeah, it's buffed the movie, and everybody's seen the TV series. I couldn't even tell you how many times. But, yeah, so you kind of find out from that, but really, like, CIA agent hunts them down, turns out it's an inside job, and...
Like, we didn't see that coming within the first 5 minutes.
Yep, there's
a stupid
hostage swap thing that goes on that's always, like, idiotically dumb at the end of the movie, but it's the end of the movie, so you'll take whatever you can get.
Oh, I did like his, I did like how he got rid of them.
Yes. Yep.
So,
he had a montage. We forgot. There was a montage.
Yeah. Yeah, where he cooks up plastic explosives in a kitchen.
Yep.
Which was kind of cool. Yep. But yeah, he's got a two-step timer, or a two-step switch on, a bomb in the briefcase that he goes to give them, you know, with what he claims are the papers in it. Which I really don't think they were, although you never do find out if the papers were really in there or not.
No, what I suspect is it was probably, like, the useless papers, like the, or copies of the original papers, and just put those in there.
But, or just, you know, paper.
It doesn't even matter.
Even blank pieces.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The dude dies at the end.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Here's the spoiler alert. He dies, the hero lives. Game over, folks.
Yeah, but you get, you know, they've got to swap, they swap him for his daughter, and he gives the daughter to her boyfriend and tells him to take her away, and, tells her to run, and she's like, I don't want to go, and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he gives them the papers in the briefcase, they open the briefcase, check it, close it, and then they give him to the other guy, who is never named, and I don't even think he's credited. Because find a credit for him.
MI6 or KGB?
Yeah, but I don't, like...
The expert is all they call him.
Yeah, and I'm looking in the credits on IMDb, and I don't think he's listed, because I don't... Like, I don't see a name that looks like it could be him, and I don't see his picture anywhere. But anyway, so they, he's supposed to be driving Ben back, and everybody else in the car with the briefcase, And Ben hands him a paper and says, here, tell your boss he missed one. And the guy walks over there, hands it in the car door. They open the briefcase, and boom.
Yep. Very nice job.
Yeah. Was a nice job. And I love the fact that the car that he's in, which is parked, you know, one space over, rolls completely over and lands back on its wheels.
That's why I love European cars.
Are you saying they always land on their feet?
Yeah, they always land on their feet. No, because clearly by the first car accident, they do not land on their feet all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is, but if you watch enough explosion movies, you start to realize, like, European cars got a lot of flips to them. American cars, not so much.
Yeah.
I think it's just because of the size and the weight.
Yeah.
It's tough to do, but you can flip American cars. It's just tough to do.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And then we get the daughter, you know, at the airport. She's going to, you know, fly back to her grandpa and, you know, teary goodbye with the boyfriend, and she's waiting on the plane. And then she goes to get on the plane, and right as she's walking up, and she's like the last person to get on the plane, and they call for a standby passenger, and she recognizes the name.
Yep.
Of course.
Because it's the same pseudonym that they've been using. The
entire movie.
Yeah, it's the only pseudonym used in this entire movie.
It is, actually. Now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
And it's so kind of worthlessly used, too. Like,
they make
a big deal out of it, but it really has absolutely no purpose other than a placeholder in the script.
Well, that, and it's a tip-off that, you know, because they use it. It was used as the shell company's name.
Yeah.
But
even so, it's like they just picked something that they could tag through the rest of the movie, and it would be cool and nifty, and
exactly.
Like, seriously.
But anyway, so
that's really the movie in
a real nutshell.
and it's really no more than that. There's
some nice
fight scenes in there, some really nice fight scenes in there.
And there's lots of bitchy scenes, and, you know, his daughter bitching at him and him answering questions for her.
Pretty good body count.
Yeah, the problem I'm having is she was a little dumb. I know what Kill Squad is. Self-explanatory, folks.
I know, No one needs that explained. Really, nobody needs that explained.
No.
I know, but she's also like a teenager. They really overplayed the teenager bit. To a point where you kind of didn't believe that she was realistic by the end, because there was the very stereotypical boyfriend moment. I'm like, you're just hit like that stereotype too far.
So
really losing all belief in this.
And speaking of the writing, and I think we all agree that the writing is okay, but it's just kind of blah.
Oh god, yeah.
This is this guy's first writing project to be turned into a movie. He wrote this. He's writing the screenplay for Grace of Monaco, which comes out next year. It's already done, and he's writing the screenplay for I Am Legend 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I did not know had been announced.
Yeah, I didn't know it had been announced either. I'm not sure how I felt about I Am Legend, the first one.
Yeah, but anyway. So I think we can pretty much agree that that's kind of, that perhaps is why his writing is kind of blah.
By the way, it's the end of the movie. We didn't do a Who Would You Do?
Yeah, we didn't. So, Scully, who would you do?
Hi, Ben. Although the scarring on his back, that makeup was so sad. Oh my god, really?
That was a friggin' huge scar.
Yeah. I couldn't even make out what type it was supposed to be.
I mean, it's not even like shot,
there's knife wound, there's fire.
But that was kind of all of it.
Yeah.
That wasn't even, that was just really bad makeup in and of itself. I'm like, really, you guys overdid it to a point where it looks like you put cotton underneath some rubber, molds and sort of pasted it on, and it's not even the right color. Like, they didn't even color it the rest of the way. It's like white. It's the leftover epoxy color. They never bothered to do the makeup off of it. Ugh.
So, Lisa, who would you do?
Who was... What was the character's name who was the first one to pull the gun?
Floyd?
There you go.
Yes,
Floyd.
Died in a car accident? Or died after a car accident?
Yep.
Absolutely no arguing with you there. Floyd was very, very pretty. He just needed a better name.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I'm yelling that in bed.
Yeah.
And I guess since, you know, I'd go to jail if I went with Amy, I'll go with Anna. Although, you know, really only...
Gorgeous. Yeah. She's gotten older, so a little bit, not much. But, you know, in a couple of years, in the matter of years that she's been doing this...
Okay,
acting.
You need to enter a name in here because I missed it the first time and all I'm getting is pronouns.
Sorry, Leanna. Amy.
Oh, yeah.
But she only did this last year, but she's aging really well. Like, she's gonna be really pretty by the time she's...
Hey, she's legal.
Is she?
As of last month, she's legal.
She's legal. Cutting it close, Carl. Cutting it close.
Oh, come on.
Hey, at least he waited till she was 18.
Yeah. Right. And this movie, yeah. But yeah, so I'll go with Amy. No, I won't. Because Amy, as the character, was underage. I'll go with
and
Anna.
Really annoying.
As, you know, as no choice. Because
you could have gone with
no.
Ming. Could have gone with Ming.
No, I was not going with killing. Mei Ling. I don't know. Debbie Wong is just not that attractive to me. She's alright, but she's not... I don't know. But, yeah, I'll go with Anna. Although I think I might... It might be a snuff film. Seriously. I really didn't much care for her as a character.
No, hey, she was Sully, really, like... You got a video camera I can borrow?
I'm thinking Lisa just said that she'd help me film a snuff film if it would get Olga in bed.
No, I just want to see how you would do with a snuff film.
Uh-huh.
No, her character, like, the problem is she's so expressionless as an actress that she took a character that was supposed to be evil but had this really great undertone and just played it bland the entire way through.
Well, and,
like, it was a flat tone. It was like having somebody monotone try and do this acting.
And, you know, and they didn't really get into, they never really got in, spend any time dealing with, you know, backstory of why her character has, you know, the qualities that she has.
Yeah.
You know,
and why her character actually started doing this in the first place. Like, there was no moment of linking up as to why she suddenly decided to start working for this company and do this whole underhanded stuff.
Yeah, and then, you know, we are told that she had an affair with Ben. And... while he was still an agent, and then, you know, my assumption was that she was responsible for him getting burned as bad as he did by the Oversight Committee, but we never really find out.
I also got the assumption that it wasn't a relationship between the two of them, it was she was lusting after him the entire time, and
because
when you get them that close to each other, he talks to her, and he still talks down to her, and she just, like,
yeah.
Unfortunately has that same bland face of I really want you, but I have a very bland face, so I'm trying really hard. I might as well just say it out loud, because it's probably the only way the audience is going to understand what's going on right now.
And it never made sense to me that Ben would have had an affair.
Yeah, it really didn't.
But anyway.
Because he never showed any affection to her. He showed no affection to her whatsoever. Even when they were reminiscing on the train. Zero affection to her whatsoever, but she's sitting there, like, longingly look out the window, and, like...
And he never really shows affection to anyone except his daughter, either, so...
It could have been that there was a rumor that they had an affair.
Oh, no.
Unfounded. And they really didn't.
Yeah, but, anyway. So...
So we all know how the rumor mill travels.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah. So let's go into Best Buffed. And I think we've all got one each, right?
Yeah.
All right, Scully, what do you got?
I have a Time Lord Award. I do, for Garrick Hagen. He was in Doctor Who, the original series, The Mutants, in 1972.
Nice. No Star Trek or Whedon connections?
No, I couldn't find anything like that.
Nah, I didn't see
it. In this movie?
I know.
Well, there was one Whedon connection, if you count the name of the boat.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Whedon connection for Serenity. Yes.
And we all mentioned it earlier.
We're stretching it.
Hey. The Serenity was a character on the show.
Yes, she was. So, but there was no character in this movie.
There was a ship named Serenity, and the character in the Joss Whedon was a ship named Serenity. That's close enough for me.
I think you're stretching a bit taller than you actually are, because they're two completely different ships there.
Eh. Anyway, Lisa, what do you got?
The Hellgate Group gets the Boondock Saints Award for calling in El Duce.
Nice!
Come on, seriously. I had to help her with that, but isn't that not what it was?
That's exactly what that
I
was.
I wanted to mention that guy, the expert, that they never actually mention what the hell he's an expert of or what his name is or anything like that. But I didn't know how to word it into an award.
And that's what we come up with.
That's awesome.
And drink, because we mentioned Boondock Saints.
Again.
Yeah.
And I have the, what is it? Oh, yeah. We talked about this in the roundtable, but Ben gets the Handy Haversack Award for being able to pull a gun out whenever he needs one.
Yes.
Do not want to know where he's putting that haversack.
No, seriously, this gun came out
right behind, apparently it's right behind, or it's right in the small of his back, because he reaches back there and pulls out a gun.
Like every time, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
But he does. I mean, he went in the scene with Derek, when they're in the hotel room, you know, and he's got the gun in Derek's mouth, and Derek reaches up and forces, and pulls the trigger for him.
That was Derek's gun. Because well, Derek no. had a gun
no,
with
was it.
It.
No.
It was Ben's gun. He brought it into the motel with him.
Yeah.
No, wait! No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Scully's right.
Because I remember Derek had a gun.
When he was trying to...
Oh, okay, that might be the explanation then. Because when Anna walks in...
Well, admittedly, though, he kicked the gun way out of range.
Yeah.
And somehow managed to pull it out of nowhere when he's on top of him on the bed. I'm like, whoa, when did the fight suddenly go towards the gun?
That's why I figured that it was Ben's gun. But my point was is that Anna walks into the hotel room after they leave, and Derek is laying there dead with the gun resting on his chest. Yeah. And then the very next scene...
they're in the parking garage.
Ben, and he comes up behind Anna and sticks a gun to her neck.
Yes. And actually, so here's the other fun part. When the agents make it up to the room to see the body, there's no gun on the body anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's nothing on there.
I only saw her looking in the room and seeing the body with the gun on it.
Also, the point of they leave the room, and I'm like, get the bag, what are you doing? Go get the bag. And then suddenly, like, 25 feet down the hall, you're like, oh, there's the bag.
No, the bag,
Because the bag was on the sofa, he says, the canister was on the sofa.
Yeah, but we don't actually see him grab the bag.
No, we don't see him grab the bag, but I said, did he grab the bag? And you know, he's got something in his hands and you don't realize what it is, and then you start seeing the edges of the silver canister.
Yeah. Well, his hands are down below the frame. So you're like, did he get it? Get the bag. Go get the bag. Turn around. Go get the bag.
Yeah, but you know, it's moving.
Then they pull back.
The canister.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, good. He got the bag.
Yes. And then
he throws the bag out of the car.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't need the bag.
Yeah. So.
Technically.
Alrighty. So, were you playing with your Willy?
Probably.
Sure. Let's do... Oh.
Not a whole lot of memorable trivia in this movie.
There was quite a bit, actually.
Quite a bit at the beginning, and then it just kind of blank.
Actually, I have a really good one. What was Ben Logan's official... I have to say this so oddly. His official made-up title.
Oh, his cover?
Yeah.
He was the, he worked for the State Department in the Office of Overseas Affairs? something in that, there's something else in that title, but I can't remember exactly what it was. It was Overseas Affairs, or Overseas and Something Affairs.
Did you get it, Lisa?
Nope.
Did I get
close? You're close. You got some of the words right. It's the Overseas Political Affairs. He is an Overseas Political Affairs for the State Department.
Oh, yeah. He worked for the State Department in the Office of Overseas Political Affairs.
Well, they actually say Overseas Political Affairs for the State Department, like in those words. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a made-up.
That was the word I was looking for. Oh, that's okay. Did you see did you see where Anna worked?
Anna?
They made that too. I forget what it was, but they made it up out of whole
yeah, there's a lot of. Oh, yeah, no, I remember what you're talking about now. Yeah, no, it was completely made up. It was like some, it wasn't CIA. Even though everybody's like CIA this, CIA that, I'm like, no, technically none of them are CIA.
Yeah, and what was it's almost to the, like, I actually want to give that, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I want to give that the Covert Affairs Award for renaming departments in the CIA.
Or even Alias Award.
Hey, Alias doesn't do that. Covert Affairs, the DPD, is a completely made up thing.
True.
As far as we know. But anyway. All right. What else you got, Scully?
What else do I want to use? Where were the guns headed on the Serenity boat?
Oh, I know this.
Mozambique.
Yes.
I almost said Bosnia and went, no, that's not right. It's there it is. Mozambique.
Okay. So it's 1-1.
Right. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Lisa, you want to go next?
Sure. There was one family who didn't want to do the settlement. What was the name of the family?
I don't remember.
I almost wrote this down so many times.
Probably didn't.
The Pineski or Pileski, something like that.
Penske.
No.
I'm somewhere in there. What is it?
Forgive me, I may not be able to pronounce my Belgian names correctly, but the Peters?
Oh, Peter. The Peters.
Yeah,
the
Peters.
All right.
And,
poor lighting.
Yeah. And on the fridge in Ben and Amy's apartment, how many magnets are there?
4.
I have no idea.
Carl, you got it.
Yay, I just threw that out there. All right, so it's 2.
There were 2 circle ones and one really, or 3 circle ones and one really odd-shaped one. All
right, so it's 2-1-1. So this is, it's still a toss-up. It's anybody's match today. All right, when Namir and Ben get together after they take Amy and Namir takes him to a friend's house, what country's flag is hanging on the wall at Namir's friend's house?
This is the safe house, or?
The house where he makes the plastic explosives.
Okay, so at Namir's house.
It's not Namir's house. It's,
no, it's Namir's friend's house.
Yeah.
But anyway, what country's flag is hanging on the wall?
I'm going to answer twice. One, because I have a smart-ass answer, which is, there was a flag. The other one is, I guess, I'm going to say Italian.
Okay. Scully?
I'm actually going to go Hungary.
It's the Algerian flag.
Yeah.
It's green. It's half green, half white, and has the crescent and star in the center of it.
All right. I remember the green and white, and that was all I could remember. Yep.
I had to look it up to see what country's flag it was, because I knew I should recognize it, but I couldn't remember what country it was. Let's see. At the beginning of this movie, Amy is getting an award, wins first place in a contest, in a photo essay contest. She's already working on her next photo essay. What's the title? Not the one that she won the award for, but the one you're working on.
It's got faces.
Something voices.
No.
Anybody going to get their own answer out?
No.
She's got faces, I've got voices. That's as much as we can get.
Yeah. It's, you were close, Lisa. It's without voices.
Oh. Well, that would explain why I was trying to think of silent voices.
Yeah. You were close. All right.
Audience questions.
Yeah, and that throws me to win again.
Why are we not surprised?
Hey, I haven't won repeatedly in a while.
That's true.
Very true.
What? Okay, let's see. Since this is the only question I have left, because we mentioned one of these in the episode, how much does Amy offer to pay Namir's brother for giving them a place to stay?
Don't Purple!
I was like, I'm really glad you didn't pick that one for a question.
Yeah, that was just entirely too easy. And I did almost answer that, which is why Carl says don't. He saw my mouth open, and I realized if I threw my other usual answer out, you guys might think it was true, which isn't.
Scully, what do you got?
What's the name of the New York company that owns the patents?
Ooh, that's a good one.
No, it's not.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think I remember what it is, but I'm not positive. Alright, and Lisa?
Before Ben goes to visit Amy with her award ceremony, he leaves his office. Mm-hmm. Stops and talks to the security guard. What time does it say he left?
What time does it say he left?
Ben left. What time did he actually walk out of the office? There is a clock on the wall behind Walter.
Oh, interesting. Didn't notice that. All right. And as always, guys, you can answer those questions by going to moviesinthebuff.com, click on games, where are you playing, and fill out the form. Seriously, go do that. It's not that hard, guys. And this movie is, you know, worth watching just to get the answers. Because it's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's an entertaining movie.
Yep. And anyway, let's see. What do we have left? Because I lost my mind.
Mental debuffs.
Yeah, mental debuffs. Mm-hmm. Scully, you want to go first?
Sure. We've all seen these kind of movies before. And there's about a billion of them out there, but the reason you watch these kinds of spy movies is because they're entertaining. So if you're looking for something entertaining, this is what you go for. Also, if you want to see just another stereotypical example of we must make plastic explosives, which requires us to take our shirt off. The flowery apron was a nice touch, though.
I missed the apron.
Oh my god, it was great.
You just like seeing Amy, or seeing Aaron Eckhart in lace.
Oh, I was going to say without a shirt on? Sure. But I think, why? Too. Why is it every time somebody's making plastic explosives, they suddenly take their clothes off? I was like, why? What is the purpose of this?
To prevent the chemicals from saturating your clothing?
You're still wearing pants. Like, they don't.
You've watched Breaking Bad. You're not always wearing pants.
Well, yeah.
If you have watched the pilot to Breaking Bad, you know that you are not always wearing pants. And as for my mental debuff, I gotta come down with Scully on this one. It's, you know, it's generic spy versus spy. I mean, this is the, okay, here's my mental debuff. This is the equate version of the Bourne Supremacy.
Yep.
The Bourne Supremacy was better.
Yeah, exactly. That's why this is the equate version. It's the generic shit. But anyway, and since Rod is not here for Rod's rants, we're going to go with, what are we calling this one?
Lisa's Laments.
Lisa's Laments. So give us a second to mute our mics and take it away, Lisa.
Okay. We've got a shoot 'em up foreign spy movie. Movie being as loose as one of my sisters, more magically appearing guns to go with the never-ending bullets that you see in other movies. And we won't get started on the actual gadgets. They're more confused than my other sister. And there you have it for Lisa's Laments.
That's not bad.
Yes, I'm sure Rod could have done it better, but somebody had to replace him.
Hey, and she wrote it in like 45 seconds. But anyway, join us next week when we do, what the hell are we doing?
The Sorcerer and the White Snake.
Oh yeah, the Sorcerer and his White Snake. Scully, are we buffing?
I was thinking David Bowie again.
No.
That too? Scully, are we buffing David Bowie porn?
No, it's Jet Li.
Jet Li doesn't have a white snake. He has a yellow one.
Oh,
okay, Rod was here for racist to make a racist comment earlier, so I got to put one in now.
Yeah, you had to put that one in. That's okay. That's okay. Good.
And we also need to have a drink.
Yeah.
For star reviews.
Yeah, 1-star reviews from Asian people. And Scully, can we add to the drinking game that you have to drink anytime someone make a racist comment twice if it's not Rod?
Yeah, we'll have to add that one on the website, huh?
Yeah, because I think Scully has never made a racist comment, and I've only done it once.
No, I have.
Oh,
I know I've only done it once.
Yeah, Crybaby. Scully on somebody in one of the movies, but I don't remember what it was.
Crybaby was my first one. That was my first racist comment.
You weren't here for Crybaby. That was like our second or third time.
No, I'm going to stereotype it. It's the black movie where it starts out with him.
Yeah.
And
that's Crybaby.
Whatever the hell. I don't care.
Oh, come on. Scully, you know you missed the old nigga squat fuck.
Yes, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, drink again, folks.
And,
oh my god, I forgot about that.
And tune in next week for The Sorcerer and the White Snake.
Yeah, we watch Jet Li do what Jet Li does so well. And it's not Anna Nicole Smith.
I would hope not.
But anyway, until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. You know it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at Debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at Acorna Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution,
Non-Commercial,
No Derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.